Father, we thank you, O Lord, today for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house, Lord, to worship you. God, we just ask you today to let us feel your presence in this place today, Lord. Open our hearts. Speak to us through the music. Speak to us through the word today. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome again to Christ Community Church. So glad that you're here. Now is the time when we hug each other. If you're not a hugger, it's okay. We still love you. Just do like this. When somebody comes after you and they're like, "Hey, brother," you're like, just that's how you avoid it. But right now, you just hug somebody, shake their hand, get up, say hi to somebody right now, okay? And I just say, "Lord, just bless us as we greet each other. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen." somebody.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Who do you think you are? You came riding into town. You claimed to be God. The people lined the streets and shouted, Hosanna! Oh, it looked like they loved you. But they didn't. They did not love you. They did not heed your words. They were not your friends. They were your enemies. And before the week had even ended, they crucified you. And now, here you are, nailed on a cross, naked and weak. Of course, the only reason I'm here is because I know what you're really up to. You're paying for something. You have been crowned with guilt, the shame of all the people you love, the mistakes of every person. That nagging selfishness that emerges from the womb like a cancer that never stops growing. The cheating, the backstabbing, the despicable things they wish upon others. All the secrets kept under wraps, kept behind closed doors. I can see you pushing with your feet, trying to breathe underneath the weight of it all. All the petty anger of prideful men, the blatant disregard for others, the lack of compassion, the insistence of entitlement, the material obsessions, the unspeakable amounts of money they spend on looking good while their fellow humans are starving. What does it feel like knowing that all of this is on you now? Every divorce, every abandonment, every deadbeat dad, every gunshot, every kid lying dead in the street, the men who kidnap girls and sell their dignity for a few dollars, all the insecure rage and outbursts, the I hate you, the I'll do what I want, the pornographic addictions, the jealousy, the idols, the celebration of vanity, the constant pursuit of look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, now we're looking at you, Jesus. And all I can see is a world drowning in sin and suffering. Nonetheless, I'm happy for you to be taking the blame. Humanity has done a fine job with this, but I'll take it from here. Before we're done, I just have to ask, what kind of person claims he can forgive the whole world? Who do you think you are?
Dear Death, I got your letter. My apologies for it taking a few days to write back. I had some important work to finish. I know you weren't expecting me to reply, but I'm always eager to provide the answer to a good question. Who do I think I am? I'll tell you who I am. I am the eternity before history. I am the potter who spun the galaxies. I am the spirit over the deep, and the one who tells mountains to migrate. I am the cloud of day, the fire of night. I am the co-conspirator behind the scandal of grace. I am the keeper of the books. I am well aware of the debts that line the pages of every generation, and today I am stamping each and every one of them paid in full. Who do I think I am? I'll tell you. I am the just and furious wrath that makes hell look like a campfire. And I am the towering wave of mercy that can quench its thirsty flame. I am the billowing storm of love that sits on every horizon. And my goodness rains down on both the wicked and the righteous. I am the redeemer of wasted years. I am the welcome home to every prodigal son. I am the voice in the ear of every young girl whispering, I created you, and you were created beautiful. I am faithful even to the faithless. My name is salvation. My name is power. even power over you. Do you really want to know who I am? I am the foot on your head. I am the spear in your side. I am the one author of this story. I am the one holding the pen. And I will block you out with a single stroke of my hand. I will have the last word because I am the word. And death, I am here to give you a word. On Friday, you weren't attending my funeral. You were attending yours. The nails in my hand will be the ones in your coffin. And just to be clear, I was not a victim of human plans, and I'm certainly never a slave to you. I am the victor. I am the master. I am the one who sets the captives free. And not only have I broken your grip on me, but I will pry your fingers from all who call my name. You are done. You are powerless. Your work is null and void. Pack up your bags. Go and tell your friends. It is finished. In case you're still wondering, who do I think I am? I'll tell you who. I am. Sincerely, Jesus.
Man, hey, we're here because Jesus Christ is who he says he is, does what he says he does, sets us free, and because of him, there's no need for fear and death. There's no need for us to live in fear of anything because he is victorious. And I want to tell you this before our kiddos go, he gives us that victory. That's what he does for us. Amen? All right. Ready, kiddos, break. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know it's warm in here. We're going to try to unwarm it a little bit. But y'all who are in the blast zone of the air conditioner, amen. Way to be prepared. Golly. The name of the message today is The Gracious Victory. The Gracious Victory. The victory won for us by the grace of God. And I tell you one of the things that's awesome. Death and sin were never any real enemy to God. Death and sin had no claim on God. Never have, never will. When Christ came in our likeness, when he came in the likeness of sinful man, he came to win a victory for you and for me. He came to hand that victory off and say, if it wasn't for me, y'all would die. If it wasn't for me, y'all would fry like a sausage in Hades. If it wasn't for me, you're doomed. He came to give us that. Because death and sin are sure enough an enemy for us. I don't know about you. I mean, I haven't fought death yet. But a man I prayed for as diligently as I've ever prayed for anything in my life died Tuesday. He breathed his last. I still had questions to ask him. I still had trips I wanted to go on with him. I still had things to do. And I prayed for him. I claimed Scripture. Every promise of God is yes in Christ Jesus. And man, I was praying and I was begging and I was urging that this man of God, Steve Wilkes, my friend and mentor, would stay here. And he didn't. Death grabbed him. Death is a sure enough enemy. Sin is a sure enough enemy. Have y'all come face to face with your sin? Have you seen to where even if you want to do good, The good that you want to do, you have such a hard time maintaining. Have y'all noticed that? Have y'all noticed how hard it is to make a good habit, but how easy it is to break a good habit? Why is that? Have you noticed how easy it is to make a bad habit and how hard it is to break a bad habit? Have you considered those things? That's our sin nature working in us. That is sin holding our hands and saying, you're not going to do anything. And we live until death grabs a hold of our heart and our lungs and our mind and holds them and says, you're not going to beat anymore. You're not going to pump anymore. I'm taking you. And if we were left on our own, that's an enemy we could never, ever beat. Not ever. Not in a million years. Not with a million steps. Not with a million fancy, nice, real clever slogans or anything else. We get whooped by sin and death every single time. Every single one of us. I know that sounds kind of bleak, but we got to get that word first. We had to hear the letter from death sounding so cocky, sounding so arrogant about Jesus before we had realized that good news. Let me read the scripture for us and we'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to start in verse 54 and read through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58 says, so when this corruptible, speaking about our sin, our flesh, our body, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we've heard your word, as you got our hearts stirred, my heart is stirred to proclaim the good news of the victory that Jesus Christ gives to those of us who need it so bad. I thank you, Lord, that I can trust you with not only myself, but with those who I love, that you are faithful to keep that which has been entrusted to you. And when that person names Christ as their Savior, you don't let go. Death can't make you let go. Nothing can stop you from saving those who believe. Nothing can stop you from bringing those who trust Christ into heaven to spend eternal life with you. Nothing can stop you from that. Father, we're afraid of death, and I pray you would make us afraid of you, that we would say, I'm afraid to be without God. I'm afraid to be anywhere outside of Christ. Death is nothing but a defeated foe. But you, O Lord, are eternal. Help us to have that honoring, godly, reverent fear that says, I trust Him, the most powerful one, with my soul. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to put this and that video kind of into some scripture. It started with death, and we're going to start with death and sin as an enemy that we can't beat. And I've already said it, but I just want to reiterate it. If you think you got a plan to escape death, if you got a plan that you think you can out-juke your sin, can I tell you, your sin will find you, death will catch you, and you're going to have to pay someday. You just can't beat it. You can't beat it. Period. I know people would like to vote. You know, they'll say, well, look, Enoch beat death. It wasn't because of Enoch. Enoch walked with the Lord. It was the Lord's doing. You might say, hey, one day we might get raptured. We ain't going to get raptured based on your need. You're going to get raptured. That's the Lord's doing. I'm going to tell you, sin and death is an enemy you and I cannot beat. It's going to grab you. If you don't think you have time for it, don't worry. It'll make time for you. One of my favorite poems, and it kind of reflects my morbid side. Y'all, forgive me for having a little morbid side, but I like Emily Dickinson. And she was an American poet back in the day, and she just wrote things. She wrote a lot about death, because at that time, when you had a funeral, it'd be in the parlor of your house. And so she watched her loved ones come in and out of that parlor, and she wrote about death. She said, "When I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me." Right in the middle of your plans. Right in the middle of your, I've got to get this done. I need to do this eventually. Right in the middle of our bucket lists. Right in the middle of our responsibilities. Right in the middle of our desires. There's no stopping that enemy of ours. In the middle of our prime. In the middle of our youth. In the middle of our families. In the middle of our love. There's no stopping that. There's no stopping him from crushing your dreams. There's no stopping that. 2 days before Steve died, I got an email from him. Said, "Let's do this trip to Haiti." Man, I want to do that trip to Haiti. Man, I want to do it with him. He was planning. He had this church and this man, this pastor on his mind to go do a mission trip to tell people about Jesus. And in the midst of that, he just stopped breathing. They don't know why. I can tell you why. Because death had got him. It was his time. It came up and said, "You're coming with me. I don't care about your plans. I don't care about any of those things." He just took them. What a sobering thought. He was a seminary professor. You know how many pastors and missionaries were praying and asking for him to be let go, and it didn't happen. I wrestled with disappointment, just being honest. "Lord, how come? Lord, why?" I tell people, you just don't know, you just can't ask why. And I was asking why. I was disappointed. God used this to help heal me. Because he said, even though you can't beat that enemy, Steve can't beat, the best man you know can't beat that enemy. Period. But I can. I can. That's so awesome. Let me tell you how this death thing works. Death was brought into the world through sin. It says in verse 56 of this chapter, "The sting of death is sin." In other words, the only reason why you and me are really, what stings about it is we know we haven't done right. We know we have fallen short of the glory of God. We know we've messed up and we're about to be face to face with our Creator, and we think there's going to be a judgment. So the sting of death is that we haven't accomplished what we are supposed to accomplish, and we've sinned against God. Locks in there. And it says sin, the strength of sin is the law. The law is what says, "Wait a minute, I said you shall not commit adultery, but you did. I said you shall not murder, but you did. I said you shall not bear false witness, but you did. I said you shall not covet, but you did. I said, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain, but you did. I said, remember to keep my Sabbath holy, but you didn't. I remember in telling you to honor your father and mother, but you didn't. Have no other gods before me, but you didn't. Make no graven images, but you made them." See, the law is standing there accusing us. Death is ushering us in, and sin makes it an awful prospect to fall into the hands of a living God. It's an unbeatable trap. It's horrible. It's no good living that way. That's why I'm so happy to tell you about the gospel. That's why I stand and say, what greater privilege is there in the whole world than to proclaim there is a way out of that trap? There is a victory. There is a Savior who can beat this enemy of ours, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He can beat him. He went in. It's hard for me to explain this, but I just need us to hear it. He went via the cross. He took all the sin of the world on his shoulders, paid for it. That's how he dealt with sin. He lived a completely holy life. He fulfilled all the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. So that's how he answered the law. And then they took him from the cross and they put him in the grave. 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the grave. So he beat death. See, he fulfilled the law, he paid for sin, and he beat death. That's what Jesus Christ did. You know, that's the technical part of it. It might not sound real technical to you, but that's what he did. He wasn't just aimless out there like, well, out of some sentimentality, some emotionality, I don't even know if those are words, but some sentimentalism, I'm going to die on the cross for these people. He was going to pay a price. He was going to accomplish something. He was going to get it done. Way back, it had been prophesied that death would be defeated. 700 years before Bethlehem, old Isaiah the prophet says in chapter 25 in verse 8, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up. Sarah and I, being old-fashioned and weird as we are, stayed at the graveside where they buried Steve, and we waited. You know, they took everybody else away. Everybody else left. We're just weird. It was part of my upbringing. The Goldwater family would stay at the graveside. I mean, we'd camp out there probably. You know, we would like to bury them, but they don't let you do that anymore. You know, they bring the truck with the dirt and all that. But we would stay, and I've buried family members with a shovel and dirt, and that's just how we did. So we stayed there, and they put his coffin, inside a vault. And then they lowered that vault down into the earth. And that vault looked big until they lowered it way down, 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 down. And it just became consumed in that hole. Or just, it would look down, way down yonder, look farther than the floor does for me right now. He was swallowed up. But it gave me an idea. Just like that grave swallowed up my buddy, Jesus Christ is going to swallow up death. Our God is going to consume it like that big fish. When Jonah was paddling around, he's like, whoo, he's swimming in the Mediterranean. It's storming. And that fish came up and went and consumed him, put him in his belly. Death is going to be consumed by life. Light is going to consume darkness. God has his foot, just like Christ, like it said, I'm the foot on your head, on your neck. Jesus is victorious. Listen to what the Word of God says. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That might not sound huge, but I hope you get it. I hope it hits you hard that we have so much to be thankful for. The problem that we could never defeat, not for ourselves, not for the ones we love most, God defeated through Christ. This is the gospel. He won the battle we couldn't win. You know, it was like he went down into the grave. The grave and the death was holding him until he said, it's finished again. He was on the cross. He said it was finished. He was in the grave, said, hey, it's done. In chapter 1, verse 18 of the book of Revelation, this is what it says about Jesus. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And then it says, and I have the keys to death and Hades. Do y'all have keys to your car? Anybody out here have keys to their car? You do? Any of y'all got keys to my car? Would you fess up if you did? Anybody here got keys to their house? You got keys to your house? And y'all got keys to my house? No. How come? It's my house. I own my house. You own your house. You own your car. I own my car. Why does Jesus Christ have the keys to death and Hades? Why does Jesus Christ hold the keys to death and Hades? Why? Because he owns it now. He whooped it. He owns it. He's got the keys to prove it. And when you put your faith in Christ, You are no longer in danger of being imprisoned by death and Hades. Death and Hades don't even last forever. Death has a time limit on it, I promise. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, and then death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. They're done away with. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation and chapter 4, it says this about that. Behold, I wipe away every tear from every face. For death is no more. He ends it. He ended it. Do y'all get that? Do y'all get what Jesus did? He ended it. He said there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying because the former things have passed away. That's what our amazing Savior, Jesus Christ, has done for you and me. I don't know about y'all, but I felt like in the passing of my friend, in God using His word like a balm, like a healer on me, I feel emboldened. I feel emboldened to share the truth about what Jesus Christ has done. I've always tried to share it. I've always been in the Word, but I'm going to tell you, I feel a new emboldening, and I want you all to feel it. I can't make you feel it, but God can reveal it to you. We have no reason to fear anything. The greatest of enemies that stood in front of you is gone. He has been whooped. He is defeated. He's dead. It's no more. You get me? I'm not saying that you can't fall into sin. You can, but I'm going to tell you there's a way out. I'm not telling that you're not going to die on this earth. You may, but there is a way out, and it's all through Christ. There's part of that letter in that video said, not only did I beat you, but I'm going to pry your fingers off of everyone that you got a hold of that believes in me. Do y'all hear that? And those who have gone on, this is the heart of that 1 Thessalonians 4. Those who have died before us, all of y'all, when I look out, y'all have lost somebody you love. Somebody. And you got that ache in your heart. Can I tell you, they're not being owned by sin and death. If they had put their faith in Christ, so as I look out, I know most of y'all who've lost people, they love the Lord. They are not being enslaved by sin and death. The devil does not have a hold on him. They're not in that place. The one who won the victory for us, he is the shepherd and the overseer of their soul. And we don't have to be afraid anymore. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to mourn like those who have no hope. That's what he was trying to tell them. Don't mourn your loved ones as if they are there being enslaved, being punished, being held up somehow in the red tape of the afterlife because sin and death has crushed them and snuffed them out. Don't you be afraid of those who have gone on with the Lord because the Lord's got them because he's got the keys. He's got the keys. He owns it. It's his. He's got this. Isn't that awesome? Don't you wish you can just say about all of life, how much better would we be if we could say, the Lord has got this. I'm okay. He's got it. Not one bit of hesitation. He's got this. All this leads to that challenge. In this scripture, as Paul is preaching, he's saying, look, death has been swallowed up. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, Hades, where? Or where's your victory, Hades? Where's your sting, O death? He said, it's gone. Thanks be to God. He gave the victory to us. I know I touched on that earlier, but I just want to one more time. He gave the victory to us. There's another way of saying that. It's grace. That's grace. If you ever wonder, what's grace? The fact that he fought on our behalf, but gives us the victory. There ain't no mincing of words here. Who gives the victory to us? It's just that simple. That's what he did for us. The last verse in this chapter then tells us how we should live. Oh, church. This charge given to us on the foundation and the base of grace is this. I'm just going to read it. Be steadfast. That has the idea of faithful. Undeterred. be immovable. Think about how stout that is. Think about Jesus Christ. He was not movable. Satan said, if you're hungry, use your power to make these stones bread. And I can tell you, if I was in the desert after 40 days of not eating and Satan came and said, make anything into bread, I would have done it. There'd have been a donkey walking. Make that donkey into bread. I'd have been like, boom, boom. I would have fell right there at that one. I would have made them into pizza. Make these rocks into pizza. I'd have had this whole buffet. It looked like Pizza Inn in the desert. I've been going up, get me some bacon and onion pizza. It'd have been over. This would have been done. But think about Jesus Christ, immovable. And when we realize that it's His power in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, then we too can be immovable. Say, I'm not going there. You can't move me there. You're not going to move me with fear. You're not going to move me with self-pity. How many sins, how much devastation in this world happens because we just feel sorry for ourselves. And we feel like we need to do something then to build ourselves up. Be immovable because of what He's done. And then what does that lead to? An abundant work in the Lord. It leads to this abundant work in the Lord because your work in the Lord will not be in vain. I've told this story before, but I love it. I love the illustration. When Evander Holyfield was fighting Mike Tyson for the heavyweight championship title, Mike Tyson was a guy who just hurt people. He just knocked people out. He was crazy. He was just this muscle bounder. He just pop, and people just whoop, sleeping, pow, sleeping. Evander Holyfield's going to fight him. And Evander Holyfield had the audacity to say, I know I will win because God told me I would win. Everybody's like, oh, God told you you're going to win. And they're looking at him like, that's kind of funny. Well, guess what? Guess who won? Evander Holyfield won. I think Mike Tyson got disqualified because he was so hungry, he tried to eat Evander's ear off. And I'm not kidding. You can't fake that stuff. He's trying to bite Evander. He was about this tall, and Evander's like this tall, and he's like jumping up like a chihuahua trying to bite at his ear like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. So Evander's on Oprah. Oprah says, Evander, how is it that you had the audacity to say that God was going to give you the victory? And he said, because God told me I was going to have the victory. And then she said this, and this is brilliant, his reply to this. She said, so did you just not train? Did you just take that whole training season off since God gave you the nod and said you're going to win? So now, you know, did you cut your training camp down? Did you not do as many sit-ups? Did you not stay at the speed bag as long? Did you not run as many laps? And this is what Evander Holyfield said. He said, I did twice as much training than I usually do. I did twice as much. She said, why? Why did you do such a great training? He said, because I knew it wouldn't be in vain. I knew it wouldn't be in vain. I wasn't afraid. I moved past being tired. I moved past being wore out, hungry, beat down, and trained harder and harder because I knew it would not be in vain. The fear of losing was gone, so I worked my tail off and I won. Church, let the fear of death, the fear of failure be gone. Our greatest enemy is a defeated foe. Our Savior, who loves you, holds the keys. He's graciously given us the victory. Let's not slack off, but let's double down and say, all the effort, all the money, everything I've got is not going to be in vain in the Lord. Y'all get that? Isn't that awesome? This mission will not fail in the Lord. It just won't. Because He's a Savior that can't lose, and He's won the victory from an unbeatable enemy, and He's handed it to us. Now that's the facts. You may and I may wander back and forth in our hearts and minds. Are we in or are we out? Maybe you're a fence rider. Maybe you're just kind of a Sunday morning. Maybe you're just kind of, hey, I just don't know yet. But can I tell you, He knows. There's no question with Him. He gives it to us. It's just a matter of how we're going to respond. Now, let's talk about that response. Some may be here today who have never asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Maybe you're not sure about whether or not Christ is your Lord and Savior. Can I invite you to make that sure? Make it sure. If not, when death, which is going to come at an unexpected time, grabs your heart and your mind and your lungs, you will be his slave. You cannot overpower him. But if you give your life to Christ, he is the victorious champion who brings freedom and life and light from darkness and slavery and death. Give your life to Christ if you never have. If you never have, now give your life to Christ. What an awesome way to say to God, thanks. That's what verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great way to say, I want to be sure. I don't want to miss this. If you know Christ and you've been afraid of the great things he wants to do in your life, and you're just afraid that you won't measure up, you're afraid that you're going to mess up, you're afraid of all kinds of things, a multitude of sins and fears are bombarding you and insecurities because you don't think God can use you to do great things. Let me tell you, let me take the pressure off you. Jesus is awesome. He doesn't call you and me to be awesome. He just calls us to follow him. Got it? Take that awesome measure off your lid. You didn't call to be awesome. He's awesome. He's just called you to trust him. Just trust him. You might say, I might fail. Well, he won't. He won't. I promise. Your work in the Lord will not be in vain. Just turn it over to him. God's wanting to build great things at Christ Community Church. And I'm not talking about buildings. That's the least of things. He wants to build great things. He wants to build an RA ministry. I'm pointing right at Cade. Cade, I'm sorry. I'm pointing you out. He wants to build an RA ministry that is going to be so fired up that when Dake is 15, he's going to love it. You get what I'm saying? That's what he's wanting to build now. If y'all don't know, Dake is, he's this tall. I don't know, you can still hold him. You can hold him by his arms, his little feet, you know. He's not a year. How old is Dake? 7 months. Dake is right there. We're not going to wake him up. Dake. Through Christ, we're building an RA ministry that's going to rock. And you're going to build little cars and go to camp in Jesus' name. And you're going to tell people about Jesus. Y'all get what I'm saying? God wants to build things that just rock. He wants to build a women's ministry in this place to where people are buying tickets to come to Christ Community Church to hear them speak and share on Christ. Y'all get what I'm saying? He wants to build things. He wants to do things here that would blow us out of the water. And if we'll let go of our fear and our insecurities of not being perfect and just move forward with the God who already won the victory, we would see it. Do y'all believe that? I don't believe there's any barrier. Since he beat death and he beat sin, I don't believe there's any barrier he can't beat in our life. Y'all get me? Ain't no sense in not just getting fired up and going. This church planted 35, helped to plant 35 churches overseas in the first 5 years of its existence, first six, 7 years of its existence. Since then, we've planted and helped plant about zero anywhere in the world. God did not give the government or the police or anybody else the privilege of passing the gospel out. He gave that to the church. And there are people in this world who don't have a church in their town, who don't have anyone to preach the gospel to them. I promise, in this world, not in our town, but in this world, there are people in that situation, I promise. And I think God wants us to tell them. And he wants us to go. He wants us to be a part of how they're reached for Christ. There's places in this world where the good news hadn't rung out in 100 years or more. We ought not be afraid to tell them. I can go on, but I'm going to stop. If you're a fence-riding Christian and you ain't come to the point where you've seen your life has been bought with a price, freed from death, and you're still wrestling with the fears of if we're in or if we're out, if we can or if we can't, we can because he did. Come on. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray right now that if there is anyone here who's never named Christ, maybe they're trusting in their own strength, trusting in their own goodness, trusting in something Something will just happen. Well, help them to realize it won't. What will happen is they'll die and they'll face judgment without Christ, and that ain't no good. Help them to say, today will be the day I come to Christ. And Father, for all of us who know you, if we're not all in, help us to figure out how to be all in. What's holding us up? Why aren't we there? And Father, just help us to go forward with you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you need to make some kind of decision today, be it to come to Christ or be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you come make that decision right now. Amen. I might ask if the ushers would come forward to take the morning offering. And as they're coming forward, just remember, God's always at work. You know, He's, no matter what you're facing, face it in the name of Jesus. Because He's beat the biggest problems. Believe me, He can pay the rent. He can whoop all the other problems you got. He can answer every test. He can heal every, he can do it. He can bring you through it too, whatever it is. And so go at it with, in His name and His strength, with boldness. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time of giving an offering. It's just a way of worship. It's a way of saying, thank You, Lord, for what You've done. And we just give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I know LG reminded you of year one. Our celebration of God's faithfulness and getting us in the promised land is going to be April 24th to the 27th. I just want to remind you again, because it's going to be good, okay? We're going to tell all the community. There's been a lot of people who've been praying for us and caring for us about getting in this building, and it's going to be our opportunity to invite them in and say, hey, this is what we got. This is where we are. And tell them thanks for the prayers. Tell them we love you. And join in fellowship and preaching and singing and praising with them, okay? I'm teaching that class tonight. Did we say it was at 5 or 5:30? I didn't hear. 5:30. Okay, so at 5:30 we're going to be teaching that. It's a one-on-one membership class for our young folks, youth and young adults. Come to it. If you're not a youth or a young adult, I won't ID you, okay? We're going to be split up in two parts. We're going to talk about the spiritual foundation of church membership and the practical application. Next week will be the practical application of church membership. So we're going to break it down like that, but we invite you to come on, okay? I ain't going to card you. You look, no, it's all right. Look the other way. Just come on. And love to have you there. We have Wednesday night service, 6:30. All those things. Y'all, are you a heart, LG? I love y'all. Hey, thanks for putting up with me. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. And I said I love you, but I'll tell you again, I love you. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us all. And how your love wasn't in theory, wasn't hypothetical. Like so many of the arguments against you are hypothetical, theoretical things. But your love was tangible. You died for us. You rose again. You defeated death. And you're bringing us to be with you. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready. Break.